I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report. Radioactive honey and plastics converted to jet fuel. Those and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Let's see here. It is 2 May. It is 2 May. Beginning of the new month. It's Sunday. It's time for the Prophecy Update of the Week. And we got a few visitors here today. Came in early, just walked in, Ron and Ginny Skinner from Temperance, Michigan. And I'd never heard of that, and so I looked online, and as I was looking, he yelled out, it's right above Toledo, and I'm thinking, Ohio. Toledo's in Ohio. And sure enough, I mean, they're literally right on the border of there. And if they want to get away from their horrifying governor, all they need to do is just drive over the border a little bit. And it's a real pleasure having you here. They'll be here for the week. And so hopefully we'll have some time to get together with them. And then we have Michael Meisler. Michael is the son of a couple that attend here, and I've never met him. He's in the United States Air Force, senior airman, and we appreciate your service. And he is in one of those spooky jobs up in the Maryland area, which he probably would have to kill all of us if he told us what he did. But handsome young man, and apparently his brother's going to come and replace him here next week, unless the Lord takes us home first. So there you go. It's wonderful to have you here. And then we have Bob's son, David, who was here last year, and then he came 2 years ago. And he came in again today, walked in. The first thing after giving me a big hug was, he said, I see you still preach barefoot. So, listen, I'm 56. I'm not going to start putting those things on my feet now. That's not going to happen. So there you go with that. And then we have a couple visitors from Venice right here. Larry and Linda are visiting, and it's wonderful to have you here as well. So good to have you, and we'll see what we have as far as an update. So starting out with some news from Israel today. We had a very sad stampede in Israel. I don't know if you have kept up with the Israeli news or not, but there was, I think it was 11,000 people were celebrating the Lag BaOmer celebration in Israel, and something happened and people started stampeding, and 45 people were killed, and another 100, I think 120 plus have been hospitalized or injured. And so it's a very sad thing that happened over there, and it's a good reminder that when you go to big gatherings, especially where people are excited, and if you saw the video, you saw how excited they were. They've been in lockdown for a year. They're dancing. They're celebrating one of their celebrational times of the year. And I remember when I was a kid in high school, and the Who was, it was somewhere up north. I don't remember where, maybe Ohio or something. And they were having a concert and 11 people got trampled to death. And you hear about these things. So if you're in a big crowd, you want to always be aware of what's going on around you. It's just heartbreaking what happened to Israel. And, you know, I know many people's hearts go out to them for what happened. As far as articles from Israel, from the Times of Israel, I'm just going to give you the title and one comment. Israeli UAE fighter jets fly together in a large international exercise in Greece. Air forces from 8 countries take part in the drill, simulating airstrikes, dogfights, and rescues over unfamiliar terrain. Now, they have participated in these exercises in the past, but this is the first time, thanks to our previous president, that the UAE and Israel are allies, flying together, not just, you know, competing and, you know, making a show of things. They're actually flying as allies. And so hats off to our previous president for that. We have a current president which is trying to destroy everything that he put together and built up in the Mideast, and it is going to devolve quickly over there unless this guy grows a brain, which I don't think is going to happen at his age. But there you go with that. From the Jerusalem Post, Israeli innovation will allow oxygen to be produced from the moon's surface. It's kind of interesting. An Israeli startup has developed a method for producing oxygen from the surface of the moon. The project, titled Helios, after the company behind it has received funding from the ISA, which is the Israeli Space Agency, and is expected to develop a system that will launch 2 missions into space in the next 3 years. The technology behind the ambitious idea is based on a special furnace that was designed to extract oxygen and various metals directly from the surface of the moon without requiring any supplementing materials brought from Earth. And that's the important part about this. This potentially means reliant technology that would allow future human settlements on the moon to quite literally live off the land for long periods of time without needing constant shipment of supplies from Earth. The technology we've developed is a part of a value chain that will allow permanent bases to be established outside the limits of planet Earth in order to avoid having to endlessly transport equipment. And while the oxygen produced by Helios would potentially serve astronauts for breathing, most of it would be used for launching and operating space vehicles due to its part in the chemical process leading to a combustion reaction. The current cost of launching materials and equipment to the moon, Mars, and beyond restricts the chances for long-term extraterrestrial human presence. However, about 45% of the total mass of the surface of Mars and the moon is suitable for the extraction of oxygen, the company says. So if they can actually make this work, they will be a lot further along in able to having the ability to actually have places on the moon where people can stay for extended periods of time. So we'll see where it goes. From All Israel, Israeli economy shrank in 2020, but less than other advanced economies. Now, I would not have expected this. I would have expected Israel to have taken a great bite, and apparently they did better than many other economies. Despite contracting by 2.6% during the pandemic year 2020, Israel's economy is already reawakening, is poised to make a quick recovery. By comparison, most Western democracies experienced on average, an economic shrinking of 5.5%, almost double in 20, or actually more than double, 2.6 and 2.6 is, 5.2, so more than that. 5.5% in 2020, more than double compared to the Israeli economy. Israel's economy was not only less battered than other advanced economies, it appears to be on track to a swift recovery. Israel's GDP grew by an annualized rate of 6.5% during the fourth quarter in 2020. This rapid Israeli economic growth rate greatly outpaces the average growth rate among Western economies, even prior to pandemic. While private consumption in Israel shrank by 9.5% in 2020, and unemployment soared to over 16% due to three lockdowns, unemployment fell below 10% in April. However, the unemployment rate still remains high compared to less than 4% unemployment prior to the pandemic. The IMF is also increasingly optimistic about the Israeli economy. IMF has revised its economic growth forecast for Israel in 2021 from 4.1% to 5%. This forecast is even more optimistic than the Israeli Ministry of Finance's growth forecast of 4.9%. In addition, IMF expects the Israeli economy to continue growing with 4.3% in 2022. IMF also expects inflation in Israel to reach 0.7% in 2021, approximately half the rate of most advanced economies. The international agency also predicts that unemployment in Israel will drop to 5% by the end of 2021 and to 4.6% in 2022. If realized, these numbers are indeed encouraging. However, IMF's forecast for unemployment in Israel does not include unpaid leave in sectors that were severely hit by the pandemic, such as aviation and, obviously, tourism. We were talking about that before we got started today, is that tourism is not going to come back quite as strong as they had hoped. And the reason why is a large amount of their tourists to Israel are evangelical Christians. And evangelical Christians are the ones that are least likely to get the vaccine in this nation as a large group. And so my guess is unless they change their expectations in Israel and say that, you know, you go into a two-day lockdown or something, or they come up with something to accommodate evangelical Christians, their tourism is not going to come back the way that the rest of the country has. And I'd also like to say that Donald Trump is probably responsible for a great deal of what happened there. And the reason why is because even in their time of lockdown and even when things were slowing down around the world, he was making these alliances possible between the UAE and between Morocco and between Bahrain and Israel. And because he did that, they have extra sources of income and trade that are going on right now, which would not have been a part of that case. And so, once again, Donald Trump was their greatest ally, and I don't know how these numbers that they predict will be able to maintain themselves if Biden continues on the path he's going with Israel. I just don't see how it's going to happen because he is a real detriment to that nation. And we'll talk about that a little more now and maybe some articles next week. From the Times of Israel, doing what no human eye can, AI reveals secrets of Dead Sea Scrolls creation. New research has revealed tantalizing evidence in the mystery of who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, identifying that two scribes were apparently behind one of the most famous of the manuscripts, and not just a single workman, as had been largely assumed. Harnessing the key attention to detail of computer-assisted pattern recognition boosted by artificial intelligence, biblical and computer researchers from the University of Groningen in the Netherlands analyzed the Great Isaiah Scroll, one of the first of a trove of ancient scrolls discovered in the caves in Qumran region near the Dead Sea in 1947. The study focused on examining minute differences in the way letters were written. It uncovered evidence that there are two distinct halves to the scroll, with the break at columns 27 through 29, written by two scribes who were apparently trying to match their styles. They're actually trying to copy each other, but the AI computer can tell that there are two different people that were actually doing this. That there were two scribes sheds new light on the production of biblical manuscripts in ancient Judea. It doesn't have anything to do with the reliability of the text. They know that it is reliable, and they know that the word of God that we possess today is reliable based on the Hebrew. What this is telling them is how these texts were put together, how they were maintained by people. It was not always one person that was writing out a text. They may break it up between different scribes and say, you're going to do the first, you know, half of it, you're going to do the second half. And they did not know that that was the case. I mean, these people have been minutely studying the Great Isaiah Scroll for years. It is one of the most studied scrolls on the planet, and yet they didn't know this until a computer figured it out. So I thought that was kind of interesting. From Breitbart, Biden fails to mention Israel or Middle East peace in his first address to Congress. The momentum toward peace in the Middle East is apparently not high on his agenda. So there you go. I don't think it will be high. I think he's got other priorities which are going to cause this nation probably to go into a tailspin. And certainly the Middle East will be neglected as a part of his overall policy, except caving to Iran, something that he's going to continue to do. And he's going to bring the same disaster to this nation that our previous president before Trump did as well. We're going to have a lot of trouble because of this. Anyway, from Christianity Today, some news concerning the state of it. From Christian Headlines, churches are essential and necessary for the health of the public, new Indiana law says. Okay, this is a great thing because they can't undo this without completely destroying a lot of their constituents if they argue against it in the future. So, Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb signed a bill into law that calls churches and religious organizations essential services and limits how the state can restrict them during an emergency. This isn't just important now. This is important for the future if they try this kind of thing again. The bill's sponsors say it is needed to protect churches during future emergencies similar or even worse than the COVID-19 pandemic, which led to the local and state governments shuttering churches. Religious organizations provide essential services that are necessary for the health and welfare of the public during a disaster emergency, the bill's text says. The state and its political subdivision may not impose restrictions on churches and religious organizations that are, here it is, more restrictive than the restrictions imposed on other businesses and organizations that provide essential services to the public. In other words, we were all told that you're not essential and you're essential. And, you know, that was the hand that was dealt to the American people. And the people that were essential went to work and they continued to function as they normally did. Everybody else was shuttered away inside locked homes and told you can't go out and you can't breathe and you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, this is now limiting the government's ability to say that a church is not essential. In fact, it takes away that ability. They are essential and they can meet in the exact way that anybody that is deemed essential can meet. That's the important thing right there. So it says the new law specifically allows the state to order a religious organization to comply with generally applicable health, safety, or occupancy requirement, but it must be neutral towards religious organizations and equally applicable to any organization or business that provides essential services. I think every state should put one of these forth, and if it is turned down by a Democrat state, they need to vote in a Republican governor like we have in Florida. We've got a great governor that has done wonderful things, and from there, they need to make this a law, and it needs to stand from that time on. This is an important thing that they have done in Indiana. From Christian Headlines again, Montana governor signs bill prohibiting government from burdening citizens' religious liberty. You can see these people are taking a stand right now, saying he wants to protect the right to freely exercise their religion. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte signed a bill into law that prohibits the government from burdening an individual's religious liberty and gives citizens the right to sue if they believe their rights have been infringed. The law says the state may not substantially burden a person's right to the exercise of religion unless two things can be demonstrated. One, the state's action is essential to further a compelling governmental interest. And two, the action is the least restrictive means of furthering that compelling governmental interest. The law gives individuals the right to file a lawsuit regardless of whether the state of Montana or one of its political subdivisions is a party to the proceeding. Legal relief can include damages and attorney fees, the law says. The bill's legislative findings say religious liberty is a fundamental right. Prior to a 1990 Supreme Court ruling, laws burdening exercise of religion had to be justified by a compelling governmental interest. So once again, we've got governors that are making the right choices for people of religion in their states. All right. And as I said, this will affect any religion. It's not just Christianity. I'm happy because of that, but any religion. And so once this is in place, the next guy that comes along and doesn't like it is going to have a very difficult sell, because he's going to have all of the other people that claim that they're a valid religion saying, well, wait, you can't do that. And so once these are in place, they are going to stay in place. That's the important thing to remember there. All right, some news from the Mideast and Africa today. I'd like to say that it's pretty much a given that John Kerry is anti-Israel, pro-Iran, that he actively worked to undermine Donald Trump's presidency, and that he is both a traitor to this nation and a supporter of terrorism. My statement on that man. From Newsweek, Denmark says Syrian civil war is over, begins, listen to this, I never would have expected this from Denmark, forcing some refugees granted asylum to leave. I can't believe they're doing it, but they're actually doing it. Denmark saying that the conflict in Syria is finished has begun revoking residency permits of some Syrian refugees who came to the Scandinavian country to escape a bloody civil war. The decision makes Denmark the first European nation to buck the consensus among experts who say that the Syrian capital, Damascus, is not safe. More than 33,000 Syrian refugees and their families live in Denmark. Denmark's latest action affects only those who sought asylum in the country as a result of the civil war. Those who can prove a specific threat on their lives are able to stay. Facing criticism from the international community, of course, which argues that ejecting Syrians would put their lives at risk, the Danish government is pointing to initial stipulations made 6 years ago that Denmark would house Syrians only temporarily. Now, they said they were going to do that, and I never would have thought that they would actually stick to what they said, and they are sticking to it. It's a cornerstone of our legislation that you get temporary protection, and as soon as you no longer need protection anymore, you will have to leave Denmark. Oh, if we could have that here. From the Jerusalem Post, Iran seeks U.S. withdrawal under fire from Iraq. A notable uptick in attacks on U.S. personnel and facilities in Iraq has taken place in recent weeks. Now, why is this important? Because we've got Iran attacking U.S. interests and personnel in Iraq. Did I say Iraq? Iran is attacking in Iraq, okay? And our president is still trying to work with them. It makes no sense at all what he's doing. We'll go on. In the latest incident, five rockets were fired at the Balad Air Base, which hosts U.S. personnel. F-16 aircraft are stationed at the base. Two foreign contractors and three Iraqi soldiers were wounded. Two of the rockets landed in the dormitory and canteen of a U.S. contracting company. The Blad attack followed a drone strike on the airport at Erbil. U.S. troops are stationed at the airport, located in the usually peaceful and stable Kurdish autonomous region. This was the first recorded use of a drone against a U.S. target by the Iran-linked Shia militias in Iraq. Iran is the one that is funding these. A rocket attack in February at the airport killed one Iraqi civilian and a contractor working with U.S. forces. So these are all in one way or another coming against U.S. interests. Okay? Around 20 attacks against U.S. personnel and facilities have been carried out since Biden's inauguration in January. 20 attacks since January. All under this administration, and he is still trying to make things work with Iran instead of holding to what you saw the article I read a week ago. Iran was right at the end of their money. They were right at the end of their money, and now he is starting to fund money back into them and build up their regime again to do more of this. Anyway, we'll go on. Around 20 attacks against U.S. personnel and facilities have been carried out since Biden's inauguration in January. What is the objective of this insurgency? The Iranians want to produce a withdrawal under fire of the 2,500 U.S. service personnel currently present in Iraq. That this insurgency is gathering speed at a time when U.S. and Iranian representatives are meeting in Vienna in an effort to revive the JCPOA nuclear agreement should come as no surprise to those familiar with Iranian methods. Recall that the negotiations toward the original JCPOA took place in 2013 through 15, when the Syrian civil war was at its height. During that period, the entire regional network of Iran proxy political military groups had been mobilized to defend the Assad regime from the insurgency against it. The U.S., meanwhile, was a nominal, though somewhat half-hearted supporter of the Syrian rebellion. So they were taking the opposite side of the United States when Obama was making that agreement possible, and he still made it possible. And they continue to do these things to this day without any repercussions, and instead they are rewarded. This should not be. From the Epoch Times, CCP has taken over Islamic countries, Muslim scholar warns. This is another bad thing that's going on. Beijing has set up its sight on Islamic countries in the Middle East and Central Asia as they are crucial to its Belt and Road Initiative. Since 2013, the CCP has made the BRI a centerpiece of its plan to grow its geopolitical influence. The initiative pours billions of dollars into building roads, railways, ports, power plants, and telecommunications infrastructure around the world. Although China's BRI has promised to bring economic development to poor countries, so far it has introduced new colonialism. Beijing is leveraging its economic power to create a diplomatic advantage and using its political influence for security and military purposes. We have seen this with a lot of Pacific Island regions, African regions. They're doing it now in the Middle East as well. And the CCP has taken over most Islamic countries. The BRI encompasses 139 countries, including China. They account for 40% of the global economy and 63% of the world's population, according to the Council on Foreign Relations. Okay. Now, somebody sent me an article. They were watching a Zoom cast with some prophecy expert on the Bible, and he was saying that the kings of the East are limited to the area of Mesopotamia, basically. Okay, I would disagree with that. The kings of the East are anything that is east of Israel, and that extends all the way out to the Pacific Ocean. And this is what is being set up right here in our times. The BRI, the Belt Road Initiative, which goes from China all the way through everywhere. The old Silk Road is being rebuilt, and that is what is being portrayed. Now, who they are, I'm not going to speculate because that's not in the Bible. It's, not responsible theology to go naming names of countries, but it is anybody potentially from the Pacific Ocean over, and they can be in the Battle of Armageddon in no time at all. Once this Belt and Road Initiative is finished and they have that highway, it's just like driving across the U.S. You could be there in a couple of days. So whoever it is that's coming, it is all possible because of what's going on right here. Okay, as we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. Now, until yesterday, I had a comment that says, and we didn't find anything. I'm so tired of reporting on COVID-19, which is the only thing that is, you know, mentioned in Mongolia. So thank goodness I found something from Mongolia. Has nothing to do with prophecy, but hey, from the Daily Star. Mutant lamb, born with only two legs, their front legs, learned to walk just like a person. Now, that's not true. If it had back legs, then you could say it's walking like a person, but it walks on its two front legs. A mutant lamb ran around on its front legs after it was born on stumps for its hind legs. For a time, the two-legged lamb would shuffle on its stomach following its mom, but later adapted. So here this little lamb is running around on its two front legs. Unfortunately, I've got sad news. It did die. It got gastric problems because of the way that it walked and then would sit down. But it was very, very tender to watch that. You know, the Lord created all things perfectly. Sin entered the world, and we have things like mutant lambs, but you can see how life wants to live, and it wants to excel. And this little lamb gave such a wonderful, you know, example of that. It was kind of cool to see. Anyway, the book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What has come out in this regard? Well, from Mail Online, single-use plastics. I know this is kind of a green thing, all right? I am the biggest recycler on the planet. Okay, I know some people don't like to recycle. They think it's too green for them and all that, but I don't like waste. I don't like wasting anything in life. And so when I read this article, I was really happy, because if you go like to any third world country, I've been in a lot of them, you go to any of them and the thing you see everywhere is plastic. They just throw it around. It's a real problem in the world. Streams and rivers are filled with plastic. Mountainsides, they will just dump all their stuff down the side of a mountain. It's plastic everywhere. All it does is clog up the environment. And so they have found something. Something funny happened. Did I include it in the article? Maybe I did. Yeah, I did. This is kind of funny at the end. Really got some lefties on this one. So we'll get to that in a minute. Single-use plastics are converted into fuel for jets and diesel. Okay, yes. Okay, the procedure combines two materials found in common household products to break down the plastic over just a few hours. They've been able to do this all along, but it's a long, tedious process. That's no longer the case. After the catalysts break the plastic into carbon molecules, hydrogen molecules are added to stabilize the results for use as jet and diesel fuel. According to the researchers, the process is quick, carbon neutral, which is good because, you know, the rest of the world is going to say, we can't do that. It's carbon neutral and requires approximately 50% less energy than other technologies. And it works on different plastics, something they have not been able to do in the past, even when they're mixed together, meaning less resources would have to be spent sorting polyolefins, which are versatile plastics that account up to 70% of all plastics made today, including shopping bags, wet wipes, coffee K-cups, and disposable utensils. But they're also the hardest to recycle, leading to millions of tons of plastics ending up in landfills every year. Researchers from the University of Delaware's Center for Plastics Innovation have figured out how to turn these single-use plastics into fuel molecules. It can be done in just a couple of hours at around 480 degrees Fahrenheit, which, if I'm right, that's about what you cook a turkey at. Does anybody know if that's right? It's got to be somewhere around there. I don't see anybody shaking their head. Yes. Is that too high? She says it's high. You'd have a burnt turkey. I'm sorry. I burnt your turkey. Anyway, a little high for that. It's a little hotter. Oh, here it is. A little hotter than it takes to bake a potato, and works on a variety of plastics. They used a chemical process called hydrocracking, which breaks down plastic solids into smaller carbon molecules and then adds hydrogen molecules to stabilize the resulting material for use. The scientists sparked the reaction by combining zeolites and mixed metal oxides. Zeolites are used in water softeners and home detergents to counteract minerals like calcium and magnesium, while mixed metal oxides break down large molecules. So everything is readily available. This isn't something you have to go looking for strange stuff to have it happen. They then stabilize the results by adding hydrogen molecules, resulting in a substance that can be used to create jet fuel, diesel, or lubricants. Less than 9% of plastic waste is recycled in the United States, and I would say it's probably less than 1% in most of the rest of the world, okay, with over three-quarters ending up in landfills. The remainder is burned, which releases toxic chemicals into the atmosphere. Ironically, here it is. Earlier this month, researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, announced that they had developed a truly biodegradable plastic that breaks down in just a few weeks. Now, the funny thing about that is the article went on to say that they won't pursue that anymore if this technology is available, because who wants, truly biodegradable plastic that breaks down in just a few weeks? You got a plastic bag and you want it to last, or you've got something in your cupboard and you want it to last. So it's no good except for something that is just a temporary use. And so I laughed at that these people have come out with something that's already obsolete because somebody else has come out with something. Anyway, it's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues that the Book of Revelation prophesies of. And let's see how that's developing. From the New York Times, the EU is set to let vaccinated U.S. tourists visit this summer. Well, I won't be going to the EU, but all right. From the New York Post, more than 5 million Americans have skipped their second COVID-19 vaccine dose. People no longer want to have them after they've been reading the news. Mail online, U.S. vaccination sites are closing as demand for COVID shots plummets across the country, despite less than 28% of the population being fully inoculated. They made a gamble and they have lost on it. That's what's happened. And so, and you know what? If it wasn't for, I'm sure of this, if it wasn't for Republican governors, this would not be the way it is today. It would not be. Okay, from WIO, and I'm not telling people not to get a vaccination. You do whatever you want with your life. I didn't get them when I was in the service. Flu vaccine. I'm just not into that kind of stuff. And the way that these are developed, we talked about that in the past, I would never. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. Anyway, from WION, no cuddling. UK warns people after cat tests positive for coronavirus. UK authorities have warned cat owners who showed positive. I don't like cats anyway, so this doesn't affect me, but I know there are cat people here. I like dogs, and I would cuddle them even if I got COVID from it, okay? Showed positive test results for COVID-19 to maintain distance from their pets and should avoid cuddling or touching them. And the development comes after a few kittens caught symptoms from their owners and signaled respiratory issues. All right, they're trying in their best way to scare everybody in this planet. They're doing everything they can. Now, what's going on in India, the numbers were run by my friend Les, and they are not higher percentage-wise than what was going on in America, which were not high. Okay, I want you to know that what we're hearing is all shock value, just the way it was at the beginning. And don't be scared. There's no reason to be scared, especially if you're a Christian. And I'm assuming that almost everybody that watches this update every week is a Christian. If you are, you get to be with Jesus if you die. And it doesn't matter what you do. You can step out of your door. You can go out to get your mail and get run over. You've got a life to live. Don't let things hamper your joy. We should have joy in the Lord. We should be focused on Him, and we should be able to say, I'm not going to let this bother me. I read a great article this morning, which I'm not going to include in an update, but when the Asian flu was here, and I think it was 57 or 59, and the bald guy was Ike Eisenhower. He was president, and they didn't close anything. They followed the proper procedures and everything. It was much more lethal to younger people, much more. It almost targeted younger people, and they didn't close any schools. There was none of that nonsense. So you have to be reasonable and figure that you are going to die of something, and you just take your precautions and live your life. That's what you want to do, all right? From the woke and stupid CDC, and yes, I say that. That's my comment on them. Now listen to what they say at the CDC. This is a quote from their website. CDC recommends that pregnant people, they can no longer say women, pregnant people receive the COVID-19 vaccine. We know that this is a deeply personal decision, and I encourage people to talk to their doctors or primary care providers to determine what is best for them and their, wait a minute, they made a mistake, and their baby. They called it a baby. The CDC has confirmed that what is inside of a human woman is a baby. Boy, did they blow that one. They were trying so hard to be politically correct, and then what happens is they made the big error. And now that's on a government document from 2021. The whole government's going to flip if that gets out. Please write your congressman and say that this is in the CDC and they're not to call him anything but a baby anymore. All right, from AccuWeather, Taiwan's worst drought in decades impacting crucial technological sector. I had no idea about this until a day ago. Maybe it was 2 days ago when I read this article. Taiwan is having a terrible drought. All right, my friend Ijin is watching right now with her husband Jim, and I feel bad for her family who lives in Taiwan. I did not know this. The worst drought in more than a half century has driven parts of Taiwan to implement water rationing and even shut off water in some areas. This is important for one major reason, okay? When you hear about this, you're going to understand part of the problem, which is going to continue to get worse in the world. Not only is the drought taking its toll on key industries such as agriculture, but it is also hitting the technology sector notably hard. Taiwan is home to some of the world's largest and most advanced microchip factories in the world. We already have problems with microchips all over the world. This is going to make it worse if they don't start getting more water. Manufacturing microchips is a very water-intensive process that uses billions of gallons of water each year to protect products from contamination. The Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company is responsible for producing more than 90% of the world's most advanced microchips. With the ongoing drought, the Taiwanese government has imposed water rationing for more than 1 million households in central Taiwan and has turned off water in some areas for 2 days a week. Irrigation has been halted on about a fifth of Taiwan's irrigated land, and farmers have been given incentives by the government to not grow crops this year. That is serious there, and I had no idea until I read that article. Okay, the state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From Breaking 911, Virginia Department of Education to drop all advanced math classes below 11th grade due to unequal representation of minority races. Who are the racists here? You know, the left is just out of control. We were downtown yesterday in the projects, as we are every Saturday, and one of the people that we see, I don't want to give any more information without, you know, harming somebody that we talk to every week, but she's in school. And she's not doing well in advanced math. And so we talked to her about how to get that fixed. You know, maybe go and get a tutor after class or find another teacher that can assist you or et cetera. Okay, the problem is between the teacher and the children in that particular class. All right, but that's what you do. You don't just eliminate things and harm everybody because you're underrepresented by minorities. You raise the minorities up. You don't bring everybody else down. But this is the idea of the left in everything that they do. Bring everything down to the lowest common denominator. That is what they do in everything, whether it's financial, whether it's moral, it doesn't matter. It's always that way. From Breitbart, Biden administration, abused women must share rooms with transgender men. They must. Yes. Biden's left-wing deputies will force abandoned, battered, and raped women to share sleeping quarters and homeless shelters with men who say they are women. Access to safe, stable housing and shelter is a basic necessity. Unfortunately, transgender and gender nonconforming people report more instances of housing instability and homelessness than cisgender people. Today, we are taking a critical step in affirming HUD's commitment that no person be denied access to housing or to other critical services because of their gender identity. HUD is open for business for all. And we've seen that not work in the prisons already in California and overseas especially. It's going to happen here as well. We're going to have all kinds of problems because of these agendas. From Breitbart, Biden's DOJ weighs in on transgender inmate Georgia lawsuit. Biden DOJ is weighing in on a lawsuit a male inmate who considers himself a transgender woman filed, blaming Georgia prison officials for allowing other men in the prison to sexually assault him, the inmate, but he claims he's a she. So the whole thing is just crazy. The inmate, who goes by Ashley Diamond, says the prison also does not provide treatment for gender dysphoria. The left-wing Center for Constitutional Rights and the discredited SPLC issued a statement in support of Diamond. The DOJ statement of interest affirms what Ms. Diamond has alleged in her lawsuit, that prison officials violate the U.S. Constitution and the Eighth Amendment's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment when they refuse transgender people placements at facilities that correspond to their gender identity, where needed for safety, and when they deny transgender people medically necessary gender dysphoria care without conducting individualized assessments of their needs. In essence, the DOJ confirms that when it comes to Miss Diamond, who alleges repeated sexual assaults, including by prison officials, and ongoing denial of adequate medical care, the U.S. Constitution is on her side. Now, what about these women that are in these abused facilities and somebody comes in and does something to them? Who's on their side? They take the wrong side in every single moral issue that this government faces. I'm talking about the left. Every single one of them. We've got to get control of this nation or we are going to just be going. We're already going down. We just need to. We need to take care of this in our next election. 2022 is not that far away. We need to get people that will rein him in. From Georgia Star News, Biden admin appeals to force religious doctors, hospitals, to provide trans surgeries despite conscientious objections. Forcing them to change people's gender when it's against their religious ideals. They're working to actually force them. Okay, some other news from around the world. From JTN, Rumble CEO, do you know that just this morning I got things ready for when I go home, I've got another 6 or 7 hours of work to do. And one of those things is editing videos because obviously you can tell I'm dyslexic and I'm always reading words backward. But despite that, I went to Rumble and I set that up for the video that we will upload there today because, you know, we have YouTube, but we have started to use Rumble, okay, for obvious reasons. And just this morning, an icon came up on the Rumble website that says live streaming now available. So if we ever get cut off of our live stream here, I'm telling this to the people that are live right now, we are going to immediately move over to Rumble. And we also have sermon audio, which is available to us. Okay, so we will not lose our live stream capability. You'll just have to know where to go to get that. But Rumble is now moving up in the world. Good job. From JTN, Rumble CEO says alternative video platform has huge growth. As users are fed up with big tech, small creators are fed up with the larger platforms and are looking for an alternative solution. And I think they have found it in Rumble. Rumble, which has branded itself as an alternative to video sharing behemoth YouTube, had about 1.6 million monthly users at about the time of 2020 election and reached 31.9 million by the end of 2021's first quarter. So they've gone up 300,000 people in 1 year, and that is only going to go exponentially soon. I'm telling you that right now. Soon they are going to start having playlists. They don't have any now, so it's very hard to find things. They are going to introduce that. I'm just predicting this, okay? I don't know that for certain. I'm just saying that they will do this, and then you'll be able to access a sermon or a prophecy update or something else instead of just trying to find it on the site. They are going to grow, and they're going to excel because of this. And YouTube is going to continue to shoot itself in the foot until it doesn't have any more foot because they are following a politically correct agenda, which will never work with people that want freedom. It will never work. So we'll watch Rumble take off. From Epic Times, Montana Governor Gian Forte signs law prohibiting federal ban on gun ownership. Now, before you get all excited, we have our friend, he's a lawyer that comes here from time to time from the, he lives up in the panhandle, I think, or somewhere up in the north end of the state, and he is a lawyer for gun rights in Florida, okay? And he said that not all of these gun laws can be enforced, okay? In other words, they're just putting them out, and in the end, it doesn't really matter. Some of them will work, some of them won't, and these things just have to come out in the wash when the time comes. But at least they are doing something right now. The new law, which passed 30-20, means that no subnational government agency or official may cooperate in the enforcement of any federal ban on firearms, magazines, or ammunition. Now, the government may say you can't have any of these clips that are 30 rounds or more. Okay, that's fine. But if they want to come into, what is it, Montana, and they want to look for people and prosecute people, the people in the state of Montana are by law now told they cannot help those federal people do that thing. It's the same thing as the sanctuary city that the left has used against right policies under Donald Trump. This is what they are doing there. Okay. And using that term, next article, Epic Times, North Dakota declared a Second Amendment sanctuary state. So we have Montana. Now we have North Dakota. North Dakota has been designated a Second Amendment sanctuary state after its governor signed a proclamation reiterating the state's support for gun rights. The proclamation declares the state's intention to combat any attempts by the federal government to limit the ability of its residents to own or use firearms as protected by the Constitution. From the Epoch Times, governor signs bill making Oklahoma a Second Amendment sanctuary state. That's three in 1 week. I did not save these up as I often do. These all came out in 1 week. We have Montana, North Dakota, and Oklahoma, all Second Amendment sanctuary states. From Mail Online, North Carolina police shooting victim Andrew Brown was a drug dealer with a 180-page criminal record dating back to 1988 and had been selling cocaine and meth weeks before his death. Mail Online. What pandemic? Airline, cruise line, and hotel CEOs see their 2020 pay double 2020 last year, even as their firms lost billions and they laid off thousands due to COVID. Now, the reason why these companies have gone woke, and I'm not the only one to think this. Dinesh D'Souza did a great video on this recently. The reason why they have gone woke and supporting all these BLM things and all of these voting things is not because they care about those issues. It is deflectionary. They went in a year when this nation was having an economic crisis and they doubled their salaries and they didn't want anybody to target them because the left always targets people that have a lot of high pay. Always happens. Well, they're not saying anything this year. Why? Because they said, we support this agenda. And so they've deflected the attention away from their greed and they've put it in place of BLM and voting rights and all of that kind of stuff. That is what's going on here. Okay. So I want you to understand, I went to, what was the name of that place we went to, the pizza place?
Demetrio's.
We went to Demetrio's Pizza yesterday. And I walked in and I know they have Coke products there. And I said, I want something other than a Coke product. And she said, that's all we have. And I said, then I will have water.
Yeah.
I will never, I don't care. I may include an article next week. I read it this morning about Coke kind of waffling on this because they're starting to lose business. Good. I will never go back to Coke. I will never. I like Coke more than any other soft drink and I will never, ever go back to Coke. These people have put their priorities in the wrong place and they will never get Charlie Garrett back. That's all there is to it. I hope everybody here feels the same because these people need to pay for what they have done in this nation, especially what they did for our previous president or against our previous president. Okay, let's see, our Mail Online. From Skid Row to a brand new studio. Inside the apartments that LA's homeless will be living in after judge orders city to offer housing to the entire 4,600 strong vagrant population by fall. We have to pay for our apartments. They get them for free. Every homeless person on Skid Row must be offered housing by October 18th, according to a judge's order. A new 98-unit apartment building that just opened is a small step in the right direction, the city says. Single women and unaccompanied children must be offered a place to stay within 90 days of the order. Families, meanwhile, must be offered a place to stay within 120 days and given support services by the county. The city is being ordered to put $1 billion in escrow to tackle the problem. The mayor has said it will comply. Why even go to work anymore? Why get a job? Why be a productive citizen in this nation when you just don't do anything and somebody's going to give you everything? Epoch Times, there's no accountability left. Epoch Times, Oklahoma governor signs law protecting drivers who hit people amid riots. The bill provides certain legal protections for drivers who injure or kill somebody while they are fleeing from a riot. We've seen people actually be, you know, remember that guy out in L.A. during the Rodney King trials, after the trial, and they pulled him out of his truck and they threw bricks at him until he was brain damaged? Well, we've had that happen in the past year from these BLM people. People have been damaged, physically damaged, and some have died because of this, and these people are tired of it. The bill provides certain legal protections for drivers who injure or kill somebody while they are fleeing from a riot and when there is a reasonable belief that they are in danger. It also amends state law to classify the unlawful obstruction of a road or highway as a misdemeanor punishable by up to a year in prison and a $5,000 fine. Good. Stop these people from doing these things. Mail Online. New York Police Department detective is attacked as he probes robbery. New York City Police Union blames de Blasio for soaring crime as shootings rocket by 257%, and a man is shot dead after asking a stranger if he's okay. Are you okay, buddy? Law officer. New York Police Department suffers 75% increase in officer departures in 2020. I wonder why. From Fox, New York City weekend bloodshed leaves 31 people shot, 6 killed. Welcome to the city of violence. They're catching up with Chicago. Epic Times. Oscars ratings fall to record low. The Academy Awards, yes. Television audience plunged to less than half of the Oscars' previous low, continuing a startling trend of viewer tune-out. Yeah. Zero Hedge. Radioactive residue from bomb tests. You want to know, I told you about what happened to me a week ago, Wednesday, so it's been a week and a half now. I got bit by some bugs, and I almost died. I was that close. You know, yesterday, please do this. If you're ever taken in by these people, yesterday I sat down and I finished letters to the emergency room and to the, drivers of the ambulance that took me there. Let these people know you care. I'm telling you, when I went in, I was taken by them into the ER, and the people in the ER said to the people on the ambulance, boy, have you had a long day. And they were so professional. They treated me like I was their only case that day. There was no, oh, we got to get this done, or I'm tired, or none of that. They were just so professional. Remember those people when something like this happens. Anyway, you wonder why these bees attacked me? Radioactive residue from bomb tests decades ago are found in honey. The U.S. conducted many nuclear tests in the 50s and 60s. Recently, it was discovered that the legacy of these tests can remain for decades in American honey. After World War II, the U.S. and other countries, including China and the former Soviet Union, performed hundreds of above-ground nuclear tests. These bombs ejected a chemical element called radiocesium into the atmosphere. Winds then spread the substance around the world until it fell out of the skies in microscopic particles. Due to regional wind and rainfall patterns, the spread was not uniform. For instance, the U.S. East Coast received far more contamination than some other places. So we're isolating the East Coast, and that tells you why these bees were attacking Charlie Garrett a week ago. All right, let's see here. It goes, James Cast, a geologist at the College of William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia, asked his undergraduate students to bring back local foods from their spring break destinations to test for radiocesium. One student returned with honey from Raleigh. Okay, to Cast's surprise, it contained cesium in levels 100 times higher than in the rest of the samples. Radiocesium is water soluble, and plants sometimes mistake it for potassium, a nutrient with similar chemical properties. Cast and his students started their project in order to find out whether plants are still taking in this nuclear contaminant. After finding the cesium in the honey, Cast and his colleagues collected 122 samples of locally produced raw honey from various parts of the eastern United States and tested them for radiocesium. It's really quite incredible. Nuclear fallout is still out there and disguising itself as a major nutrient. The results showed that there was radiocesium in 68 of the samples at levels above the 0.03 becquerels per kilogram, or about 870,000 atoms of radiocesium per tablespoon. A Florida sample, here it is, had the highest levels of radioactivity at 19.1 becquerels per kilogram. The new findings, that's way, way above anybody else. The new findings raise questions about how cesium has impacted bees in the past 50 years. I know how it's impacted them. I was a recipient of it. Biogeochemist Justin Richardson said, according to the report. So now you know. I'm just making a joke of that. Obviously, it's not radioactive, and there's nothing wrong with me. But anyway. Okay, I got a question. And this is so true. This is so true. Who said this? The future ain't what it used to be. Yogi Berra. Who said that? Who said that? Jim, I'm going to take you for a flight on this YF-22 after church today. Yes, that Yogi Berra. And it is true. The future, think of it. Just 2 years ago, the future was one thing. Today, the future ain't what it used to be. I'm telling you, all it takes is us letting our guard down. Just let your guard down. Don't do what's right as a citizen of a nation, and this is the kind of thing that we start facing. Okay, I got a Lesrick here for you. Let's see if you can figure out what they're writing about. Two hands may have written the scroll. That doesn't make one a bad troll. 'Twas God's word they penned, and his power won't end, although buried for ages in a hole. Okay, I got a couple of irony here for you today, and please, if you're watching this on YouTube or Rumble, please be sure to share this so that we get the numbers back after we have left YouTube on this particular format. I'd appreciate it. All right, Mail Online. Now, I want you to think, I don't know if this is ironic or if this is just insane, okay, but think of the level of brain pan of this person to even say this, okay? Makia Bryant, the girl that was shot, okay, 16-year-old girl that was with a knife, and okay, Makia Bryant's biological mother plans to sue as family blame foster system for failing 16-year-old who was killed by cop. No personal accountability at all. It's the foster system's fault when it was her fault that she's in the foster system in the first place because it's her daughter. Okay, from CG News. Apple donated millions and millions of dollars to BLM. BLM rioters burned down Portland Apple store. Such is the world we live in. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.